strong. Try to make them all think I'm strong. Yeah, the face I keep putting on says I ain't tired. But these tear-stained eyes ain't lying. Cause hard, nobody told me life would be so hard. A weary soul with a worn-out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling, I hit my knees with my hands held high, saying, dear Lord Jesus, you know why I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Lord knows I've tried, but I'm good at falling down. Thank God you're good at picking me up off the ground. The world's gonna try to break me, but I know the one who makes me strong. Strong. Like my daddy always told me so. There's a place you can always go when you got nothing. And then he handed me the one thing that's strong. It doesn't matter how old it gets. There's power in the words in red in this old Bible. And when I'm desperate for revival, I hit my knees with a hand held high, saying, dear Lord Jesus, you know I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Lord knows I've tried, but I'm good at falling down. Thank God you're good at picking me up off the ground. The world's gonna try to break me, but I know the one who makes me strong. Oh, strong. My knees with my hands held high, saying, dear Lord Jesus, you know I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Lord knows I've tried, but I'm good at falling down. Thank God you're good at picking me up off the ground. The world's gonna try to break me, but I know the one who makes me strong. Strong.
I believe that you are God alone. But sometimes I still try to take control. 'Cause I get scared when I can't see the end. And all you need from me is to let go. Your parting waters making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayers before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still. Well, I bring my praise before I bring my needs. 'Cause there's no fear you've not already seen. And I rest my heart on all your promises. 'Cause I have seen and known your faithfulness. Your parting waters making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayers before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still and know that you are God. Still, and know that you trust that you are parting waters. Lord, you whispered my name, and you answered my prayers. You're moving mountains. Making a way for me. You're moving mountains that I don't even see. You've answered my prayers before I even speak. All you need for me to be is still. Oh, be still.
Be reading our scripture today. We're going to be in John chapter number 11. Appreciate all the prayers. I'm here. I'm alive. There's proof I have a brain. They got close enough to look and see. But I do appreciate the prayers. A little bit weak, you know, been kind of out for the last few days. I told Tim earlier, he don't believe me though. I told him earlier in the sound room, I said, you know, this is the first time I've really been out and done anything, and I'm going to preach. So I said, probably the shortest message I ever preach. And he said, I don't believe you. We'll see. We're going to be in John chapter number 11, picking up in verse number 17, and continue our burning questions. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And here's the burning question, believest thou this? Father, as we come to you today, I'm so thankful to just be here. I thank you for just everybody's had part in the service. The songs just are inspiring, God. They're saying from the heart. And I thank you, God, for everybody that's had part in it, all those that are working behind the scenes. I thank you, God, for the Sunday school hour and our teachers that work so diligently and prepare every week to share your precious word. And God, I just pray you continue to bless them for their efforts. And God, I ask you to strengthen me today that I can just be used by you for whatever you want me to do. God, help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Help me to God, be willing and forgive me of my sins. Anything that would hinder me in your service today, God, please, let's get that cleaned up. And I pray that you preach to me, you preach to us. Give us what we need from your word today as we ponder this burning question. Believest thou this? May we consider that, God, in our own lives and in the things that we face from day to day. So I pray your blessings on everything else that's said and done the remainder of the service. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. If I say something off, just go ahead and forgive me because I've been under the influence of some heavy medication for the last few days. Can't guarantee I've got a clear mind, but I tell you what I have. I'm going with an open mind on this thing, so I'm going to. So here's the question, believest thou this? And when I started thinking about these, it's like, you know, Jesus is so cool at how he communicates with people. He obviously, he's God, so he knows exactly what to say, when to say it, how to say it. He knows to respond to a question that's asked of him more often than not with another question, because he wants us to think. He wants us to consider, you know, what's going on in our lives. And we kind of know the answer a lot of times, and that's how Jesus would address it. But when I thought about this question, believest thou this, I thought, do I really believe Jesus? And, you know, we've talked before and even last week about the difference between believing in Christ as Savior of your soul and Lord of your life. They're two completely different things. They go together, but they're not the same thing. We've got to believe him for salvation. Then do we believe him to be Lord of every day of our life? So when we think about do we believe Jesus, I've got one, two, three. I got about four things we're going to go through pretty quick here, I believe, that we've got to respond and say, do I believe Jesus for this? And number one is this. Do we believe Jesus to comfort us? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the Father of all comfort. Notice he says not most of the comfort or some of the comfort, but he says all comfort. If you are comforted, you are comforted by God and nobody else and no thing else. Yes, God may use people. He may use a song on the radio. He may use somebody just giving you a hug, whatever it is. But know that all comfort, and the only means we can get comforted is through our relationship with God, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And the word comfort through this entire scripture means basically two things: to call for or to come near. To call for, to come near. So when I think about comfort and what God wants to do in comforting us, what he does is he calls for us and he comes near to us. So it's not that God's just saying, I know you're having a hard time, I know you're having a difficult time, and I'm here for you if you need me. Now, that's not how God works as far as comforting. He intentionally and specifically comes to you and to me to comfort us. We don't have to call him up and say, God, are you nearby? Because he's already nearby. Now, we can refuse the comfort or we can embrace the comfort, but the comfort is always there. I love the fact that that means he's literally seeking us out. Isn't that good to know that when you're in trouble? Because a lot of times, if you're like me, I go to the wrong people in the wrong places and the wrong things to find comfort in times of trouble, when at the end of the day, I look back and say, oh, man, why didn't I not just pray? Why did I not just talk to God about it? Now, granted, I had my surgery on Tuesday, and Tuesday night was disastrous trying to sleep. And you know, of course, and I prayed. You know, we pray, but I didn't really pray. You know what I mean? I didn't really pray. I prayed, but I didn't really pray. I talked and moved my mouth and words came out, but I didn't really pray. So then, you know, getting into the next night, woke up several times through the night with the, you know, the needle pain. And it's like every time I woke up, I'm like, God, please, you know, I started praying. I started talking to the Comforter. I started talking to the one, the only one that can help me. And since then, I've slept like a baby every night. You know, and I'm thinking, why are we so, why am I so dumb and dense that I don't go to God quicker with the things that trouble me, with the things that hurt me? Mary and Martha were both troubled because their brother Lazarus was dead. We know that's what this whole passage is about and what it's talking about. But when we see them, how they deal with the pain, perhaps they were praying, perhaps they were talking to God, but did they really mean business? When Martha said, well, I know Jesus is coming, and she ran out to meet him, did she really believe that he could comfort them during that time? Have you ever had somebody you love pass away? We had a lot of people we know that we love that pass away. They've gone on to be with the Lord. And it's so final for us down here, isn't it, in these physical bodies, because we're not going to see them again down here. If they're saved and you're saved, you will see them again. But for the time being, as long as we're in this body, we're not going to be able to have that physical interaction. We're not going to hear, you know, their voice again. So it's a challenging time. So when somebody you love passes away, comfort is not easy to come by, or we think it's not. Because God is not intending to wipe memories of our loved one away, because we think, well, if I just didn't remember them, maybe I wouldn't hurt so bad. Now, God don't want to take away the memories. He wants you to keep the memories and cherish the memories and be thankful for the times you've had to be together. But somehow God wants to miraculously come down and get a hold of the pain that those feelings may cause, the emotional baggage that may come with thinking about those people, and he wants to take those things and pull them away from us. And that's what comfort is all about. Comfort will not keep us from trials, but comfort will be there through the trials of life. You know what the Bible says? It says, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So we know that God allows us to experience things in life, but we must understand that if we're ever going to make it through it, and we're going to be at peace and have a comfort. I've seen people over the years that at funerals that you go by and you want to comfort them and you want to pray for them and be there for them, and you say, how in the world do they have that smile on their face? How do they? I remember a lady in particular that her and her husband married for 60-something years. And there by the casket, and she was standing there, and she was smiling and talking and hugging everybody, and tears were coming, no doubt, but she didn't give the indication to somebody that had lived 60-plus years with her husband and he had just passed away a few days ago. I couldn't get it. I couldn't grasp it. You know, we want to think, well, did you really love him? You know, you're just kind of, seem like you're very cheerful and very at peace. How did you, did y'all have a great relationship? But I knew that they did. And so I knew it had to be something else going on. And when I go through the line to talk and give her a hug and tell her I'm praying for her, and I remember she turned and she said to me, I want you to know, Pastor, I pray for you every day and I hope you're doing okay. I'm here for you. You don't need to be, you know. That's what comfort does. Comfort puts us in a place we're not at. Comfort puts us in a condition that we're not used to. We're able to overcome things that we never could overcome before once we embrace the Comforter and we let Him do His work and let Him do what He does so well. We can't do it. I know when we see somebody that's hurting, we want to go by and comfort them. We want to be there for them. Many times I've been around a lot of folks that have passed away. Been by those deathbeds and been at the hospitals, and it's never an easy time. And you wonder, do I have the words to say? What can I say that would make a difference in their life? And many times I feel useless because I'm just like I'm over here just standing, taking up space. I can't bring them back, nor would we really want to probably, you know. They're in a way better place. I can't give you a magic pill to make you feel better. I can't say anything that you don't already know to help you in this situation. For me to say to you, well, you're going to be all right. Well, that's just a lie. No, you're not going to be all right. You're going to be a mess for a little while because you love that person that just passed away. So I've learned over the years the best thing we can do is pray earnestly to the Comforter that He will come down and do a work that nobody else can do in that life. So now I ask you, we believe that Christ can comfort people. So personally, do you believe that He can comfort you in whatever you're facing today? I know everybody in here, your life isn't easy and hunky-dory. I know you got stuff going on, right? Troubles, stress. Maybe you got something you're going to face either this afternoon or maybe tomorrow. You don't even know how you're going to deal with it. Maybe you got things on your heart and your mind right now as I'm saying these words that are stressing you and pressuring you. How am I going to deal with this? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Comforter in your life? Well, He's asking you this question. Believest thou this? You and I have to answer that. Number two is, do we believe that He controls the elements? Psalm 66:4. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Salah. The reason I chose this passage of Scripture is because the word worship here is unique in what it means. It means to bow down. So it's almost like He's saying, all the world, all of creation, everything bows to You, Lord. The earth bows to You. We know Scripture says that, you know, in the end times, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's talking about things in heaven and things on the earth and things beneath the earth. So it's not just talking about people, but it's talking about nature itself. Creation itself must bow the knee to Jesus Christ. We don't have to go far in Scripture to see where He's controlled the elements, right? Parting of the Red Sea, oh man, great miracle. That's one of those I'd wanted to see, wouldn't you? Wouldn't want to have to suffer through what they did to get to see it, but it's one of them you'd like to see. Think about the Lord holding the water back and it basically turning to jello, gelling as they walked across. How cool would that be to walk by two big massive walls of jello? But I think about the ability, the power. And why is it so difficult for us to believe that God can move mountains? Well, because we just don't see it happen every day, right? And so sometimes because we don't see things happen, natural things, miracles that God performs in nature itself, that we just feel as though, well, God's never going to do it again. God kind of can't do it, or those things are... But do we really believe that these things happened? Do you believe there was a Red Sea that was parted? Do you believe that Jesus Christ literally walked on top of the water? Do you believe that? Do you believe that He spoke to the storm and it dissipated instantly? It wasn't that as a storm cloud comes overhead and pours rain and slowly passes by. We've seen storms go by pretty quick in our day, right? No, but when He spoke to it, He told it to leave and it left instantly. So these miraculous things that go against science and nature that we can't understand, do we believe God's able to do those things? Yeah, I do, don't you? I read them. I believe them. Even though I wasn't at the Red Sea, I believe it happened. Even though I didn't see him walk on the water, I believe that it happened. Those guys in the upper room, when Jesus, the Bible says, just appeared to them through a locked door, he was glorified in his glorified body, and he passed through the door and just appeared in the room with those guys. How does that happen? It happens because even nature and everything about the elements must bow the knee to the Creator. If God created all these things, God can do anything He wants to with all of it. There is nothing that binds God. God is above and beyond those things. So, well, we've answered the question, do we believe those things that God's able to do? Yes, we do. So now let's bring it personally again. Do you believe that He could move a mountain or would move a mountain for you? It's different now, isn't it, when we think about what God would do and will do for us in our life? Do you think that you mean so much to Him that He would move a mountain for you, that He would cause things to happen to a certain way or this way or something not to happen because He loves you so much or because He wants to give you direction in your life? Do we really believe that? He's asking us today if we believe it. He's saying, believest thou this? Do you believe that I can control the elements not only for others, but do you believe I can control them and will control them for you if necessary to get you closer to me? I believe it because I believe He's put roadblocks in my path before to keep me from going places I don't need to go. Things have appeared to be there to prevent me from going places and doing things that otherwise I would have done because I'm not very smart, especially when I was younger. I believe that. Do you believe that? And that we need to embrace the fact that, yes, He will move mountains for us because He loves us. Number three, do we believe that He knows not a way, but does He know the way? John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, yeah, we believe God knows the way. Yeah, we believe Jesus knows the way. We believe He knows the path. He's God, right? So He knows the right path. But when we think about Abraham, and God spoke to him and He said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, up on this mountain and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. Now do we think God knows the right way? I don't think God's ever asked any of us to offer our children as a sacrifice to Him. Not literally, but we do offer our children up to Him to protect and to teach and to save and to guide and those sort of things. But when it comes to the direction God gives and it being different from what we think, we wonder, don't we, does God really know the way? Does He know the right way in my life? Because when it causes friction between the direction we want to go in or what we think is right, we begin to doubt that God really knows what He's talking about. When Elijah was waiting out, the rain had stopped, no rain, and he's waiting it out, the brooks dried up, and God spoke to him. He said, I want you to go to Zarephath up there. I've got a lady up there. I've got a widow there who's going to provide. I'm going to bless her. She's going to provide for you. Y'all are going to be good for the next couple of years. And so it would be fine for us to think, well, yeah, just go on up there, Elijah. God already said you're going to be provided for. What is the big deal? The big deal is God sent him into the center, the capital of Baal worship and Jezebel's hometown. That's the problem. God, could you not provide me a widow over here about 5 miles away rather than going about 100 miles up to the center of the Baal worship? God, do you really? Have you thought this one through, God? Do we ever say that to God? We maybe don't say it with our lips, but we think it, don't we? So what he's asking us is, do we believe him to know the right path and direction for our life? I got a problem. You got a problem. We all got the same problem. We run too often on feelings and emotions. We think we know what's right for us. We think we know the path we need to take. We think everybody else is an idiot, and we're the only ones that know how we feel, and we're the only ones that get us, and we know what's best for our life, and yada, yada, yada. So we think we know what's right. And so when God comes in to challenge that, we hold to what we think and what we believe, and we have a difficult time believing the path God has, especially when it seems that there could be harm or danger or sacrifice or suffering to be had there. But listen, all through the Bible, we see it. In my life, I go back, and every time God has directed my life and sent me down a path, I'm not going to say it's always been easy, but it has always been right and perfect, and God is glorified through it, and I am blessed through it. Yes, it may cost me a certain amount of suffering, but I would rather suffer knowing I'm doing what God's saying do rather than suffering knowing I'm doing what I want to do. Because therein is no comfort when I'm choosing my path over God's path. So we ask that question again. Believest thou this? Do you believe God knows the right path, not for just everybody else, but do you really believe how he's directing your life, that he knows the right path for you and for your life today? We got to decide that, and our actions will show it. Number four, do we believe that he can forgive? This is a hard one for us to embrace at times. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that God can forgive anybody for anything? I do, don't you? I mean, I don't think there's a sin that can be committed that Christ is not able to forgive us or will forgive us of. I know we talk about the unpardonable sin. Well, what about the unpardonable sin, preacher? That's a good question. Yeah. There is a sin that can be committed that he will not forgive. We call it the unpardonable sin. It's identified as blaspheming the Holy Spirit is how the word identifies it. So what does that actually mean? As a saved person, have you ever wondered if you've committed that sin or not? I'm saved, but my goodness, I'm afraid. Have I committed the unpardonable sin? Have I blasphemed the Holy Spirit? What does that actually mean? In simple terms, it basically means if you're saved, you have not nor can you blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Because blaspheming the Holy Spirit is rejection of the message that the Spirit brings to you, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and he wants to save your soul. If you've been saved, you have not committed the unpardonable sin, nor are you able to commit it because you have embraced Jesus Christ. Therefore, the only sin that's not forgiven is the sin that we never ask him to forgive. Does that make sense to you? So every sin ever committed and ever will be committed. And listen, if you sit and think about it long enough, oh my goodness, we can come up with some doozy sins, can't we, to think about. Things we hear on the news, the things people have done. Wickedness, perversion in the world, sickness. We just watch the situation in the Middle East, it don't take us long to see that evil exists, right? You mean God would forgive those people for murdering those little babies? Let's be honest, we kind of don't want him to, do we? But would he? Yes, he would. Anybody that calls on the name of Jesus, he'll forgive them of their sins and cleanse them of their unrighteousness. Whosoever calls can and will be saved. So do you and I believe that Jesus can and will forgive? Absolutely. All right, let's make it personal, just like we have the other three. Do you believe he'll forgive you for what you've done? Oh, I believe Jesus can forgive everybody else. Oh, but I'm terrible. I'm so selfish. I'm so cruel. I've done this and done. I just don't think God can forgive me. Listen, if we believe he can forgive every sin, if we believe his word is true, then not only can and will he forgive everybody else, but he can and will forgive you and I if we confess our sins and our faults to him. Do you believe it? Believest thou this? Those are the four things that I wanted to lay on you this morning that I think are important for us to deal with and answer that question. Believest thou this? Do you believe? Do you believe? You've got to deal with those now. I've laid them out to you. Do you believe he can forgive you? Do you believe that he can move mountains for you? Do you believe that he can comfort you in the situation that you're in right now? Do you believe that he actually knows the right path for your life? Do you believe that? You got to answer that. Stand with me.